All right, I think we're breaking our own rule here, but I will allow it. I'm going to allow it. The Leafs are red hot, so you knew this song was going to kickstart the afternoon. We are feeling it here in Toronto. Leaf fans feeling it. Raptors, maybe they play tomorrow night. George Springer in the lineup down in Dunedin. Everything's coming up Toronto, baby. I love it. How are we feeling on a Wednesday afternoon?
Third string goaltender goes in, and he pulled it off. Shutout in Edmonton. I tried to pull a sneaky move last night and PVR the game. Didn't work out so well. For some reason, I just woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, like wide awake. Put my gear on. I'm like ready to start the day. Thought it was 5. It was like 1:30, so I just watched it, and it was impressive, man. It was impressive. Third string goalie in there. Team is dialed in right now, man.
I could have played a net. They were that good defensively. Ah. I'm not lying. I mean, Hutchinson was fantastic, don't get me wrong. But the last two games, especially last night, that's as good defensively I've seen that team play in 10 years.
That's what I said, Jamie, because when I started working here, all of us have said, okay, they could maybe during the Phil time and the Dion era was like, okay, these guys can score goals. But my God, what they do in their own zone is atrocious. And then that morphed into years go by and they disappear in a new regime. Score goals, Matthews, Marner, whatever, and it's still atrocious defensively. Now, they're not exactly the 95 Devils, but damn, it is a big-time improvement. And they look like they know what they're doing. And they're on the right path to having success in the most important time of year, which is the playoffs.
Well, they look good. Like I say, I mean, it was more about 60 minutes. Like, you've seen flashes of it over the years and stuff like that, but it was just, you know, solid. Now, we'll see if they can, you know, continue that on, but it's been...
It's been really impressive,
and they play well. They deserve full credit.
Edmonton's a top five offensive team in the league. They have the most productive offensive duo in the league, and they have shut them down in back-to-back games with Jack Campbell two nights ago and Michael Hutchinson last night. And I thought McDavid had some hop. Draisaitl, I don't even know if he was dressed last night. I think partially he just never got going. But secondly, the Leafs just did a really quality job on those two. And it filtered throughout the rest of the lineup. None of the Edmonton Oilers could break through. And we have been saying things over the past few days we have not said on the show in a long, long time because it hasn't been warranted. And when you do shows like this, like we have been for a long time, I've been on the station for almost a decade, and I would say the majority of my analysis and my approach would lean negative with this team. But I would say it was warranted, and I have been saying this for 10 years.
It was negative.
Not even a question. And not even question
it was truthful,
that it
though.
Was warranted and truthful, exactly. And we have always said on this show, if they play well, we will be the first ones to acknowledge it and pump the tires. If they play poorly, we'll be the first ones to acknowledge it and kick them while they're down, so to speak. And this team deserves all the love they're getting. This isn't hyperbole. This isn't, hey, you're a Toronto guy. You've been following this team. They are legitimately the best team in this division. I'm not sure how close it is. And they are coming together in a way that we have not seen happen in a long, long time.
It's like, the flower
everything
shop.
Everything is starting to work out. It is the flower shop. Like,
it's
Sheldon
the two
Keefe,
guys. Yeah,
we didn't
guys
mention him yesterday. He's how is he not in the conversation for the Jack Adams? Has to be.
I would think he would
has
be.
To
if
be.
They continue on this way, absolutely. You have to consider, you know, teams that are near the top of the standings, whether they win the President's Trophy or they're right there, those coaches are always considered, unless it's, you know, the new guy. Well, Sheldon's got a little bit of both, right? He's the new guy, and he's at the top of the standings. And then there's always the outlier. We see that. The team, you know, Jeremy Colleton's going to get some love because Chicago's
right.
out of nowhere, right?
Yep.
But
Joel Quenneville's going to get a lot of love.
I thought of that this morning, actually. I thought to myself, you know, if you're choosing today, Sheldon has to deserve some love. And it's not even love that, you know, that they score a bunch. It's love that this team looks like they've got a plan in place.
No kidding.
But it's also, I'll be honest, it's tough love. We're all sitting there going, okay, they won a game, but he sat Nylander. He nailed him to the bench. Oh, why? Well, I didn't like what, you know, what we're trying to do. He wasn't there yet. That night, so I nailed him to the bench. Like, that's accountability. That's the type of stuff that, anyways, for me, from the outside,
no,
I took notice of that. I took notice of that because I was like, you know, it's not just, you're not going to nail Engvall to the bench. That's an easy way out, you know, if he turns the puck over. It's your top players holding some accountability and some responsibility, and that trickles through the dressing room. So there's a lot of credit.
You just mentioned Engvall, Jamie. If guys like Engvall and Mikhaev, and I know they were playing with Hyman, but if they can use your speed like that and get in people's faces, it's big guys that can move out there, and it's effective, man. You need guys to be effective out there when those stars aren't on the ice. And if those guys continue to do that and realize that what they're doing, I know this isn't the sexiest storyline, but they're important. You got to have guys that go out there, could skate, make plays, play well defensively, and kind of be a little bit irritable out there.
And, yeah, and I think it's an option for Sheldon Keefe. Like, he is using this whole season. It helps that they're getting wins and they're padding their stats and they're clearly in a comfortable position and know where they're going. They're going to get an opportunity to prove themselves come playoff time. But this whole season is basically a blank canvas for him to figure out what is the best option come playoff time. And what you've noticed last night, just because with Matthews being out, even William Nylander is in a position he's not familiar with, playing with guys he's not that familiar with, playing with Kerfoot and Barabanov. And I wonder if that's going to be an option come playoff time, not necessarily from puck drop until the final buzzer of whatever game it is, but you are in this to win it, and that has been a clear message from day one. It's not about ego. It's not about stats. It's not about who's going to make the all-star game. It's about putting forth the best possible lineup. And I wonder if that will be something we see in the future. Like, maybe we keep connecting Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander. And I would assume the four of them will collectively play together the majority of the time. But maybe you run into a game where you say, Willie, you're on the third line, quote-unquote, to spread the wealth a little bit more. And we've seen it work before. And we're going to have talent on one, two, three lines and have a line like you just pointed out, oh, as another line that we can force. And we can make the opposition uncomfortable. Because we've seen a lot of different lineups, like a lot of different things thrown at the wall.
Yeah, and it's good to have options.
It's good to have options.
When you do get to the playoffs, it's just like different formations and different looks that you want to have. Every coach would have it. Say, well, we got to move to this, we got to move to that. Because once things don't work in the playoffs, you got to be able to move on the fly. And I like the way they're moving all these guys in the lineup. They're giving guys different looks at different positions. And you're going to have different options. But you're right, the main goal, whatever figuration they come up with, configuration, it's all about playoff success. We know they're getting there now. They're making the playoffs. They're probably most likely going to be the first seed. It's not even a question. It's what can you do come puck drop in the playoffs? And this team looks like they're organized and they want to go on a run. And it starts off with Tampa the year they got dummied by Columbus. They were pissed off, man. And John Cooper talked about how he had to wait almost a year to get back and get back in the playoffs and make do for that. And it looks like these guys were pissed off last year. And the coaches and the GM talked about a different attitude coming in. And it looks like the players are also buying into that as well.
Yeah, they are. I mean, there's clearly a commitment. They're playing really well. And they're back in action tomorrow night in Edmonton. And I guess the same storylines will continue. We'll tee that up more tomorrow. But you would expect the Oilers will have a breakthrough. You would expect McDavid and Draisaitl are going to come alive at some point. So how do you respond? We'll see who's in net tomorrow night. We'll see if Matthews plays tomorrow night.
That's the million-dollar questions for me is who's playing for Toronto? Like, that's you know what I mean?
At some Edmonton's point, it's going to matter, right? Like, now, everything's going well. You're not going to get win after win after win with Hutchinson in net and without Matthews. And my understanding is it looks like Nylander's not on the ice today. Maybe he's a little bit nicked up. So, you know, Muzzin took another shot last night. It is the ultimate question moving forward. But as we talked about yesterday, Noodles, they're just banking points even with this lineup.
You got to do that.
They're 8 points up now on second place in the division. And Calgary lost again yesterday, who are in fifth. What are they, 14 points up on a playoff spot, basically. Yep. So you're feeling comfortable, and ultimately it's about the end goal and moving in the right direction. But the system they're playing – the five-man unit, all these cliches that we've been talking about and pining for in this city, they appear to be here. you know, and it's leading to a winning formula. And it's a bummer we can't see them play live, right? It's the best team they've had,
yeah, no
at least
kidding.
Based on the standings
talk
in forever.
About bad timing for right. that. Hayes.
It's the worst. You can't see them live, and I'm itching for a litmus test. I'd love to see them play in Boston tomorrow night or Tampa.
Yeah.
You know, like I want to see them match up. Go to Vegas and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. It is a reality.
I said that last week. Like I we're getting spoiled watching, you know, Canadian matchups every night, but it would be nice to just have a little, maybe almost like a one-off, like, hey, they're going into Tampa. They're going into, you know, and you know, they're going into Boston or Vegas or, you know,
one
St.
Of the
Louis,
big boys.
one of these teams that play a little bit different style too. Now that being said, I was thinking about it. Like they've only played Winnipeg once, haven't they?
Yeah, early in the year.
That's a crazy. I think it's around the corner though. It's
well, they've
week.
Got nine more against them.
I know, but I was sitting there thinking like they've you know we've seen them play everyone and kind of got a good indication of how they look or how that team plays. Like I've seen every team play, you know, pretty much live. So how they play and how heavy they are and how they can be pushed and stuff, they haven't seen, which is interesting because everyone else has played. And, I mean, it's right around the corner.
They're going to get
there.
a heavy dose of Winnipeg and Montreal down the stretch. They play the two of them. Those are their two 10-packs in terms of the teams in the country. They're going to play 10 times, play everyone else 9 times. So you're not going to see Edmonton a lot anymore.
No.
And soon you're
is
not going to see
tomorrow the last
Vancouver
game with Edmonton?
No.
They still have at least, I think, four more. I think they go back to Edmonton one more time, and Edmonton maybe comes to Toronto one more time.
And mm-hmm. you've got Ottawa a few more times, but you've played Ottawa, what, 5 or 6 times now?
Yep.
So you only got them 9 or 10. Like I say, but it's the way they're rolling. Like I'll go back to the game last night. Like it was, you could see Edmonton trying different things to push through, and they didn't break. Like they bent a little bit here and bent a little bit there, but they didn't break. Whereas in previous years, I would
Dude,
have seen.
It's, watch this.
I would
it's 3-0 start of the third, and you're like, you're saying, watch this for the wrong reasons, and it would
well,
be a sideshow.
You're right. I just, you know, it's a good sign. Like put it that way, and you know, when you're looking at the overall product, you know, coming back, they're going to have options. Like we've been talking about, and I just brought up the roster. Like Wayne Simmonds is going to come back at some point. That's going to push somebody to me farther down in the roster that should be more comfortable. You know, they're like that third line looks nice now, but Hyman will probably go back up, right? You know, there's times where I was thinking, I don't know if you guys got into this, where, you know, do you think Thornton played too much when he first got back and that may have caused him to tweak something when, you know, he had to sit out a little bit? Like, you know, Hyman's got to go back there at some point when Matthews is back, and, you know, that's going to give them options with the stuff that they're trying right now. It really comes down to trust. Sheldon Keefe is going to figure out who he trusts in the bottom six, and those guys are going to get the opportunity when everybody is healthy and ready to go. And I don't know if a guy like VC is going to be there.
No,
or not.
I'm not convinced he will. I don't know if Barabanov will be at the end of the year. I mean, and you got to factor in the potential for a trade as well. Do they bring in some new blood as well? And that just adds to the depth. But that has been on display. I mean, we know about the top end talent, but the system has been there. The depth has been there. The goaltending has been there. And I had someone ask me that earlier today. Does this run and the way things are going affect Freddie Anderson and his standing in Toronto? And I would say it might affect his negotiating leverage in terms of what he means to the team during the regular season if they're built like this and they're going to play like this. But for me, it's always come down to whether or not Freddie can make the big stop and win the big game in the playoffs. Like he is the ultimate microcosm of this team. And his success means the team had success. So I can't answer the question on his future in Toronto until we see what happens in the playoffs.
I will say this, Hayes, if there was a quiz question, the playoffs were starting tomorrow and there was a quiz question, who was the biggest X factor for this team to have success? Freddie Anderson would be my answer from what I've seen in the past every single time.
It's
not even a question. Not even a question. It's not Marner. It's not Nylander. It's not Austin Matthews or Tavares. It was from the. It's kind of recency bias. I just think of that Game 7 performance in Boston, and it's tough.
Well, but you throw in there. There's got to be another one, which would be systematic play, like defensive zone coverage.
Well, especially now, Jamie, it would be even more magnified because it's like, okay, They're not a bunch of donkeys in front of you. They're giving you an opportunity to win games. So now let's see what you got.
And three, and I don't think we're going to see this in the way that the style of the Northern Division is playing a little bit, but, like, will they be able to sustain playing against a team that plays a different style, like a Boston, Columbus, you know, where they're going to try and push you out of the game physically, you know, and that'll be, we won't have those answers until either the chips are down and, you know, Montreal or Winnipeg tries to do that, or they get deep into the playoffs and it starts going across the border and you're playing against, you know, Boston, Tampa, Florida.
Right. When you don't have guys that can drop the gloves, just do what they did last night. And they were what I call team tough. You get in there, grab somebody, put them in a headlock, and throw them to the ground. You know you're not going to fight. That's what they don't do. But you can still, and it's what bugged me in the past, there'd be a scrum going on with Austin Matthews, and everybody would be like, looking in the sky. It's like, just be team tough and get your nose in there and show that you care. Punch somebody in the head, do whatever you got to do. You don't have to drop the gloves, but be team tough. And I think I've seen that the last couple of games against Edmonton. Nothing but positives coming out of there.
No, it's a ton of positivity.
You've got to keep it going.
It's more so also just proving that you're not going to be intimidated, that you're not going to unravel.
It's the physicality of the playoffs where your fourth line winger, who's 180 pounds, he tries to run you through the boards, because that's just what the playoffs are about. It's not about fighting. It's about fighting through, makes sense.
Yeah,
fighting
every shot you can.
The defensive play, Jamie, it's not about drilling a guy through the boards.
No,
it's about being positionally sound, aggressive, and stopping cycles, and that's what they've been doing. They were the easiest team in the National Hockey League the past 7 years to cycle against. It was laughable what other teams would do to them in their own zone. But they just found a way to play positionally sound and stop cycles. It makes such a difference to stat packs, to the nerd zone, whatever the hell you want to call it. Defensive play is way better. It's impressive to watch.
Yeah, eye test, Team Corsi, they all see it the same way. It's effective, and the standings would show that. Also, you're going to see consistency in terms of the way this is playing out throughout the rest of the year in this country, more than likely, is no fans in the stands. So the energy, the mood in the building come playoff time likely will not change based on playoffs to regular season. I guess the province of Alberta is making that pitch, or at least the Oilers are, and I would assume maybe the Flames are doing the same thing. I'm not sure if they'll go down that road. But everywhere down in the States,
maybe they can move to Texas. Did you see that
wide open
today?
Their governor just an hour ago said we're wide open. Like, we're done with the pandemic. 100% open. No more masking either.
No
masks.
No nothing.
Nothing. It's as if it's done. And like in Philly, they just got this weekend, they're going to have fans in the stands. Vegas has got fans in the stands. Like down in the States, there will be at least one playoff team, I think, that has a full building for their home games.
For sure.
I think that's coming, right? That feels like where it's going, which that will be the ultimate challenge for whatever Canadian team gets out of the first two rounds.
How big of an eye-opener is that going to be to go into a barn with crazy lunatic fans? Loaded.
Yeah. And what if they are crossing the border and the home games are empty? And the road games are 20,000 lunatics in Philly or something like that.
Don't even get me started on that. Do you know why we can't have fans in Canada, Brian? Do you know why?
Why? You enlighten me.
Just who's getting? Do you know what? They're getting vaccinated in the States.
Well, I know
they're going at a crazy
rate.
Yeah, we're not going to get.
We're moving in the
right
direction.
Let's move on.
Positive Wednesday. We're moving. There's things getting checked off. I don't know, dude.
Yeah,
listen, I'm not. I am at the back of the line, and I'm fine with that. Like, I'm not gonna. I want everyone else to be vaccinated. My parents to be vaccinated.
So do
grandparents.
I,
everyone else.
Get it done.
It is
Let's
what
get
it is.
Moving here.
Of course.
You're right. But the point being is, it will be weird. You know, that being said, you know, who knows what the landscape's going to look like 3 months from now, because you have to figure, you know, it's just beginning March. You've got March, April, May, June, because if you're looking at crossing the border,
when is playoffs
that third
start?
Round? Well, middle that's the end of June.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, if you go through two rounds in Canada and the Leafs are going into the third round, that's when you're crossing the border. That's end of June type of thing. So that's it. There's still a long runway. Like, the world will look different.
Knock on wood. Let's hope. And maybe the Jays will be up here by then.
Who
right?
Knows?
The Jays, they're playing down in Dunedin. George Springer made his debut today. He got a hit.
Love
so it. He's off and running. And Keegan Matheson of MLB.com is one of the very few media members that's down there. The Grappler said he drove down there.
Yeah, he did. He documented his trip. He left at like 5 in the morning from Toronto. I saw the picture. I was up. I'm like, this guy's about to do the voyage down
that's
to FL.
That's commitment, man. Dude. I love it. I love it.
You've done it, though. Oh, you've done
it. Dude, I used to take my auto train, man. The best. the most poisonous thing in the world was the dark car on the auto train. You could go in there with your iPad and watch a movie and blow darts the whole ride to Florida. And I'm not kidding. You'd walk out of there and keel over and fall on the floor. It was outrageous.
Yeah. I haven't witnessed that. I haven't experienced that. I've seen it in Europe. There is, like, in airports in Europe, I don't think it's everywhere, but I know in Germany we flew out of Frankfurt years ago, and they have little smoking
like
tubes.
Like the glass enclosure.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I swear, this is a true story. I got my car loaded up into the VIP section of the auto train. This animal with like an Al Camino got out with a small duffel bag and he said, I want to be in a room close to the dart train. They said, sir, there's no more dart train. He turned back around and got in the Camino and he drove off.
I love it.
He said, I'm not going on this train. No way.
No, I'm not doing that. No, there's a commitment here.
You made a promise. Honest to God, true story. The lady said, there's no more dart train. He said, well, this train's not for me. Back in the El Camino, and I'm telling you, he was flicking a butt out the window by the time he got to the main street.
Right, exactly.
I love it.
I should point out that it's Tuesday. I've said Wednesday
before. Yeah,
four
you did
times
say
already.
Wednesday. I was
whatever.
Gonna correct you,
hey, listen, it's all one day for me, man. I've been in my basement for a year. Give me a break here. Jason Strudwick is coming on. I love that Struddy's coming on because now you see Dave Tippett's throwing the lines into a blender. The Leafs are just messing with the heads of everyone in Edmonton right now. And we'll get Strutty to pump the tires of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll see if we can get that out of them. Our boy Dan Campbell, our new favorite coach down in Detroit with the Lions, he's got another quote that we're going to add to the rotation. We'll play it. We'll get into it later this afternoon. Cannot confirm or deny what we'll get to around 6:05. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ray will join us in the 5 p.m. hour. Confirm or deny in the 6 p.m. hour, Keegan Matheson, who made the drive all the way down to Dunedin, and he's covering the Jays for MLB.com. He will join us in a couple of hours, and our buddy Jason Strudwick in just a moment. It's windy again today, man. I just went upstairs and opened the door. My kid's outside playing, and my hair is holding on for dear life.
Dude, bring your kids down to my condo, and I honestly think they'll blow away.
It's crazy.
Like down on the water, I'm right on the water in Mimico. It's the windiest place on the universe. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's Portage in Maine, all over Toronto, and my hair's getting out of control again. I got to fire up the. I'm trying to map out the plan for when we're going to be in studio again. I think we'll be in there in just over a month.
Dude, just let me tell you something, okay? The video surfaced of your your buzz cut. I don't know what that thing was. Was it a butt? It was a buzz cut, right?
When did he get a buzz cut?
Back in the day, like all the videos were surfacing, it was like an army cut. It was.
Well, you had kind of a V. You had
it
a
was
V.
Short.
Bottom line,
short.
I'm telling you, from one dude to another, you never look better in your life. Keep the hair the way it is and just trim the sides. You look great and don't change a thing.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to stick to that plan. You know, I got to keep it clean up top. It's, the wings are starting to get a little bit out there. And
they're aggressive.
They're
aggressive. It's not like you can go sit in a barber chair right now.
That's the whole thing. Well, technically, I could out by me, but, you know, I'm trying to map out a plan here as we get closer to trade
center. Strutty has the same hair, except it's 14 inches backwards of where yours starts.
Well, he's inspired me because he does. He's got the wings going. He's doing TV. I mean, he's a big shooter out there in Edmonton.
And what kind of coat was he wearing last night? I don't know if you saw that.
The Joker. I support it. I love it.
Was that the Joker or Liberace? It was something else, man. This guy was on fire.
I guarantee tight pants, too.
Oh, yeah.
Spectacular analysis. As always, here is our buddy Jason Strudwick. What's happening out there, Strutty?
You know what? Listening to you three guys talk about your looks and your style is like listening to Shaquille O'Neal talk about free throw shooting. It's like, it's just, you three guys don't add up to a soft. hard 10. All three of you combined your looks. So, like, your listeners, it's enough. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear that.
Imagine that.
Your listeners.
A combined 9.5 tops. Is that what that's what you're saying? If you put the three of our best features together.
We're all soft threes.
I'd muck it. You guys, if I got Dell your hand at blackjack, I would muck it. I would just keep my money. I'm out.
Just a donation to the house, and I'm out of here.
I don't have a chance.
Yeah, not happening. I don't blame you, pal. I don't blame you. So, listen, Strutty, I was a bit surprised you accepted the invitation today, because we are feeling quite good about ourselves here in the city of Toronto, as you can imagine. And I saw Dave Tippett had the lines in a blender today, because the big bad 95 Devils, I mean the 21 Leafs, have rolled through Edmonton. What do you make of this Toronto team right now?
Well, you know, I think the Leafs are playing really well, and there's no doubt, like, you know, you notice guys in the third and fourth line are really contributing, like Hyman and Engvall and these types of guys. But I think, let's go back to the Oilers' last game before they played the Leafs against Vancouver. They won that game, but they started so poorly, and they were really loose in their first two periods. They tied up in their third period, and they got the win. But, you know, they've been on a real heater. Like, I'm taught, what did they win, 11 or 13? And after a little while, you do that, some bad habits creep in your game. You start to cheat. And I called it. I said, on Friday on our show, and I got abused by all my favorite listeners, apparently. They were all over me. Oh, you're so negative. And I'm like, no, I've seen some bad habits creep into the game. And I don't think they're going to do well against the Leafs. Well, there you go. Saturday night, it was ugly. And then last night, it was as well. A little bit better yesterday. But, you know, that's what happens, is those bad habits creep in. You know, we see players, you know, maybe sometimes staying on the high side of the puck rather than getting between the man and the net. You know, the first game especially, the Leafs did a great job at both blue lines. The Oilers, you know, refused to kind of chip it out or chip it in at times. And I recognize that's not always sexy hockey, but sometimes you got to do what you get. You know, you use what you get. So, you know, the Oilers are coming down off a heater, and the Leafs look like they're really solid, especially when you consider, you know, they're missing their top guys, and, you know, or Austin and a couple of their top goalies. But it's a good game by the Leafs, but I really think that this is about the Oilers having a stretch of really good hockey and coming down off it. And now they got to try to rebound quickly, and their energy's down, and they're not as good as they can be. But full marks to the Leafs, because they are not giving any room to breathe out there.
Right. Well, and it's a surprise, because, you know, as much as we are excited for the Leafs finally doing something we've been calling for a long time, I mean, you're well aware of their history, Strutty. You've been on the show for many, many years. You've been following them for many, many years. People have been calling out the Maple Leafs, asking the question, can you commit to a system? And can you play it? Can you have faith in it? And there is no bigger challenge in this division right now than going into Edmonton and facing McDavid and Draisaitl. And the way that they have managed to shut them down over the past two nights would suggest they may have finally hit on something, and maybe they can do some damage come playoff time. Do you see the system the Leafs are playing being, you know, successful come the spring?
Well, you know, obviously we're going to watch the Leafs a lot more this year with this divisional setup. And I see a structure that is more consistent. And I always think that when things aren't going well for your team, you know, that system protects you.
Just too much tire pumping. Uh-oh. You knew it. You knew it.
Yeah,
right? You can't have someone in Edmonton
ask him to love the Leafs that much, and then he just accidentally throws his phone out the window.
That's what it felt like.
He told his buddy to just drive the car into a shopping center or
into
something.
Into the ditch.
Yeah, end this. It's misery for Strutty.
You know what? My question, I hope he calls back, is I just wanted to see, like, from the outside, because, again, I want his view on playoff hockey. And the way the Leafs have been playing, you know, that is that sustainable? Like, I believe it is, because that's more what playoff hockey looks like. Tight D, you got to be opportunistic. It's not about just flash and dash. You know, we've seen that for years. The Leafs have flash and dash. They can outscore their issues, or have in the past years. You have to be opportunistic. And,
right.
I think he's back, right?
Go ahead, Strutty. You were just talking about how the Leafs are going to go on a cup run here in the spring. Finish that.
Sorry, guys. I dropped the quarter. I had to put an extra quarter in the machine here. I was running low. No, so what I was saying about the Leafs is that I believe when your system is solid, it protects you when things aren't going badly. And let's go back to the first 7 minutes of the game last night. The Oilers are out shooting the Leafs, I think 7-0. They had a lot of good chances. You know, Cahoon had a shot. You know, not the hardest shot, but a nice save by Hutchinson early. And they weathered that storm. The Oilers came out with a good push, and they weathered that storm. And then, you know, then they get that goal. Then they get a second goal, and now the Oilers lose all their excitement. They like, they kind of fell in on themselves a little bit, and the Leafs just kept on going. You know, they just kept playing the same way. And to me, that I love seeing that consistency in teams. And, yeah, you know what, I give the Leafs a hard time and stuff, but you got to recognize when you see a team that seems to be getting it, because I don't think that, you know, that system play, and I'm not talking about dumping in or like, you know, doing always the same thing, but in your own zone and to your neutral zone, defending, are you consistent in that approach in all four lines, all the D-men? And it, to me, they look like a team that did that, because we saw it start last night and they held on there, and then they got that goal and they took the game over. You know, they got their win after that. So it feels good. I'm disappointed as a hockey fan. I was hoping to see a tighter match here. You know, now this third game is, you know, can the Oilers kind of get themselves going again? And then they are going to mix up their lines and try to get some energy out of it. But at least to me, they look solid. And like I say, without Austin Matthews in there, it definitely, you know, you got Kerfoot as your second center instead of Tavares and the big guy. That's pretty impressive against an Oilers team that's been playing, you know, quite well.
Strutty, I've seen McDavid live get shut down in Ottawa. We've seen it the last two nights, Draisaitl as well. The one formula that I noticed that Ottawa did a really good job on the one night was it was defending in five-man units. It wasn't just shadowing and just trying to, you know, hope or wish that he has an off night. What I've seen the last couple nights is McDavid not have a lot of space out there. That's systematic play, but it's attention to detail. Is that what you're seeing too from this Leafs team the last couple games?
Yeah, like it feels like when McDavid has the best time, his biggest games, he has space. You know, and then that space, he doesn't need to stick out. He needs to get up. You know, he needs two or three strides, and he's just blowing past defensemen. And we've seen it all. It's horrific for a defenseman to have nightmares about that. But with the Leafs, what I'm seeing is when the puck looks like it's going to be turned over in any zone, someone's automatically looking around for him and trying to get above him. And then a D-man's coming over. So now you have like a one-on-two situation. And Connor's good, but, you know, no one is that good to, you know, repeatedly get away from that kind of checking. So they've done a really good job. And oftentimes, if you go back to look at some of that, the attacks at the blue line, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl, those two guys are going in at three people. You know, there's someone riding beside them, someone chasing them, and the D-man standing up. And it's hard. It's hard to make plays, and there's a little bit of frustration creeping in to both those guys. Listen, they're good players, and they'll figure it out. But you got to give the Leafs credit, because that, to me, if you can slow those guys down, it's going to be harder for them to score. And then you get them, they're not, you know, they didn't even have a power play the first game. The last night, I thought that the energy in the power play, it not only didn't they not score, they didn't get that energy from the power play. Like, oh, dog, you know, when you're getting your cookies in the power play, oh, man, 5-on-5, so easy. But when you're not getting those cookies in the power play, 5-on-5 just doesn't taste as good.
Well, out against you, you never know what can happen offensively, Strutty. But I wanted to ask you. there's a lot of all of us hear weird things from people in a grocery store, different old school philosophies. And one that I hear sometimes, even from somebody like my dad, would be, you can't win unless you have a stud defenseman like Hedman, a guy that can log 30 minutes a night. What do you think of that, Strutty? Do you think a decor to go the distance needs that alpha dog back there, that superstar defenseman like a Hedman to get the job done? Or can you do it with the committee that the Leafs core has, as they've shown at Edmonton the last couple of games?
Well, I think that I went through all the last Stanley Cup winners, and the last team I think that didn't have that stud defenseman would be Carolina. You know, and I think of, Hedekin and some old, Aaron Ward was down there punching pucks around and breaking them up into twos. Like they did it by committee, right? And so you're trying now to create it that, you know, with the Leafs. And I think the Leafs, you know, Justin Hall to me is really fun to watch. Sick hair on that guy. Morgan Riley is all over the offensive zone, making plays. So I think it has been done, but it hasn't been done recently. Think back to, like, you mentioned Hedman, Petrangelo, Drew Doughty, Duncan Keith, like all, Letang, like all these guys were pretty stud defensemen. So is Morgan Riley on the same level as Letang? You know, he might be creeping in there. Is he up to Doughty? Yeah, who knows, you know? So he's getting closer, but I think that you don't, if you're the Leafs, you don't have a choice. So you have to figure it out. You got to hope your sentiment can support you. And then everyone kind of find a role in that back end and try to spread some of those minutes out at some time. So I think it's difficult, but the last time I can remember is when Carolina won the Cup. So, I mean, what is that? That's 20 years ago, is it not, or something? 20,
yeah,
25?
15 years ago, anyway. 15, yeah, yeah. It's been a while for sure. With Jason Strudwick from TSN Radio out in Edmonton. What's this I'm hearing and we're seeing about maybe the Oilers pitching to the province about getting some fans in there, where I could see that hopefully happening in the next 2 or 3 months, but it doesn't appear to be even close in Toronto. What's the reaction been like out there, the idea of Edmonton, the Oilers even suggesting it to the provincial government?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to lie. You know, some people are excited and others are really upset because, you know, if you're going to do that, but then, you know, youth sports can't have any fans or can't even play games. So
right.
You know, everyone's got a different opinion. You know, it's difficult. And I think that what we're going through is a first for everybody in 100 years. And the lady here, Dr. Dean Hinshaw, I think she's done a good job managing it. And, you know, she talks about they're always taking the proposals, right, for the Western Hockey League start up again, or the Alberta Junior Hockey League starting again, or, you know, tennis, all these different little activities. And I don't know if it'll happen maybe much before the very end of the season or the playoffs, but our numbers are trending down. And yes, we opened up a little bit, you know, we opened up a smidge. But you know, is it worth it? And to shut other things down. So there's a lot of politics involved, right? I'm not really a big right. politician, but, you know, I'd love to see it because I go to those games and you sit there and it's so quiet. You know, you can hear everything that happens, you know, and the crowd noise in there. And I can see why the players really want that. I mean, it's, you love that reaction. You do something good to hear the roar of the fans or, you know, that, you know, whatever. It's exciting, but it's just a different time. So I think that no matter what happens, I think the players and the league will appreciate the fans even more. You know, I do. I'm just going there. I'm just as a, you know, I guess I'm a fan of the game, but more as a media, and you're like, oh my God, the fans are making such a difference in the energy they bring. So I'm sure that if they can, they'll get them in there as soon as they can, but I know the players would desperately love to have them back.
Yeah, well, I could definitely see that being the case. Like, even, you know, we're not talking a packed house, but if you get 3,000 people in, maybe it leads to some sort of a mood.
It's better
than
nothing,
it's some sort of an atmosphere in there. And, yeah, right now, throughout the country, we're much more conservative when it comes to this, and I think there's a lot more trepidation and anxiety about COVID, clearly, than what's going on down in the States. But hopefully in a month or two, we've been saying that for a year, hopefully in a month or two we're in a different spot, but it does feel like we're moving in that direction. And I'm kind of curious to see if it's a domino effect. If Edmonton gets the go-ahead, you would think Calgary wouldn't be far behind, and maybe Winnipeg, and then all of a sudden Montreal and Toronto, and maybe by playoff time we're talking 3,500 people in the building, 5,000. You know, it's worth something, you know, and hopefully it's worth something to look forward to. So we'll see.
Well, the one challenge, I think that there's one lobbyist from Toronto, his name's Jamie McLennan, who's lobbying everyone and anyone to open movies again. He hasn't had popcorn, movie popcorn in a year. He's beside himself.
Strutty, let's just put noodles in the net for the Leafs last night, a struggling kind of third-string goaltender. He goes in and gets the win. What kind of peak are we talking about after the game? Tell me, Strutty.
Right to the Roadhouse? Where are we going? Roadhouse, White Avenue? Where are we?
His name would still be ringing as the first star, and he'd already be driving out of the car, out of his place, to go somewhere and put that Jack Hardenoir on and a nice mock turtleneck to get to some bar to meet somebody.
Jack Hardenoir.
I love
Dracar Noir. My brother still wears that.
No.
It was either the Brute Kit or whatever came in those free Brute Kits in Junior the Dracar Noir. But
just putting on a clinic out there in the real world, hanging out with a mascot. Maybe it would be a mascot party type of evening. You never know. Yeah. You've had one of those before. I think that was up the road in Calgary, maybe. But it happens. Well, we'll see, Strutty. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. It sounds as if Matthews might return. So look out. Watch yourself tomorrow night, and we'll see where this goes.
Make sure you still have the tags on that coat, right? You're going to return that today?
You know what? One of my friends texted me and said, did you go to Herb Tarlick from Devin KRP estate sale?
Yeah.
I thought it was a phenomenal, phenomenal jacket. I love it. It was just maniacal. It was like you're a Bond villain last night.
Well, another guy told me I made Craig Button suits look normal.
Yeah. Craigie's got the loudest suits in Canadian media. But he's got a partner in crime now. You're chasing him. You Alberta boys. Someone on out there in Alberta. Always great catching up with you, pal. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Strutty.
See you guys. Anytime.
There he is, Jason Strudwick from TSN Radio out in Edmonton, and a big TV star as well out in Edmonton.
Yep. They're
making things happen.
Talking about getting a peek on, a couple intermissions. That's it. So he looked good last night. I mean, the hair was flowing, though. I will say there was
the whole network had some hair flowing last night.
Yeah, there was some flow rolling last night.
Yeah, the salad was consistent from coast to coast.
Yeah.
And we love it and we support it.
Absolutely.
Ray Ferraro will join us in about 20 minutes. We have some more Dan Campbell audio, the new head coach of the Detroit Lions.
Can't be better.
Add it to the rotation.
Can't be better.
It might be. This one, we're going to play it, and I'm going to have some mock headlines, and we will play a game at whether or not we believe these could be true someday or if they are just too tough to believe.
I want to hear it after the break.
Ever happening. We'll do it around 5:30. Because this has got to be primetime audio. It's really quality stuff. We'll get to that around 5:30. Speaking of which, Shaquille O'Neal was on Dan Patrick yesterday. You heard it right here on TSN Radio. And he's sticking to it, man. He criticizes current players, and he's saying if they got a problem with it, that's on them. And they're soft in this new generation.
And
so,
he has the street cred. Don't forget about that.
He did say that. So we'll get into it. And is he being fair? Is it truly accurate? That and more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Hayes, I saw you were causing a disturbance on Twitter saying the top four pies you had.
Yeah, the
pumpkin pie, the rhubarb. No, those three you had at the top. No, you had the top three nailed. But my problem is old school guys from Sasky, like Dregs, he's like, what about an old school meat pie?
A meat pie. Like, dude,
it's garbage. He's like, with some hot sauce or ketchup. That was a feast back in my day.
It's the most ridiculous thing. If anybody
it's disgusting.
Meat
get
pie
that
out
crap.
There.
Don't even.
No
you
one
can't
wants
even
it.
Bring that. No.
Nobody wants it. It can't be included. Go ahead, Noodles.
No, I was just going to say the strawberry rhubarb was a little aggressive.
No,
not in my wheelhouse.
It's a spectacular
not,
pie.
Vanilla ice cream. Vanilla ice cream with.
Rhubarb is an East Coast league. It's an East Coast league.
Oh, that's an outrageous comment. That's an absolutely outrageous comment.
But I will say, where's the Boston cream pie?
It's in contention. This is what I tweeted out earlier, and I should point out the reasoning behind this, because it is not germane to anything that's going on in the world right now. It's not Thanksgiving. It's not Christmas. It's March 2nd, and I'm talking pies. But I don't remember the last time I bought a pie. I went grocery shopping yesterday. I hit the brakes when I walked by a strawberry rhubarb pie.
Go to Walmart. Really? They have a giant table with lemon meringues. 7,500 lemon meringue pies.
They're spectacular.
Pies.
Yeah. Oh! And I was talking about this with my wife, and she's not a big strawberry rhubarb fan. Not bad, but not a huge fan. And I said, for me, the Mount Rushmore of pies begins with strawberry rhubarb, pumpkin, and lemon meringue. For me, those are locks. You can't dispute me on this.
That's the greatest thing you've
ever
said. It's just a fact. Key lime is in contention for that fourth spot.
Key lime could possibly be traded for pumpkin. They are movable parts.
Pecan pie is outstanding, too.
I've got a key lime sitting in the freezer right now.
Oh, key lime's outstanding. Did you just say pecan's garbage? Is that what I just heard from you?
No, I'm
such an idiot here.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's an East Coast League pie that can come up to the NHL and score 7 goals in one game and maybe stick around for a while. One of those McCain pies that are into the freezer, and they're just like ice cream.
That's a cake.
That's not a pie.
Those are my number one.
We have one in the freezer right now, but
that doesn't count.
That's not a pie.
Dude, what the hell do you got over there? A 7-Eleven? You got a pecan pie? You got a McCain's?
No, we've got a key lime from one of these really high-end farms around here. I can't remember. It's like a... not high
Shout
end,
out to the farms. We support
the
farms. I
can't remember.
People
go to
a high-end
farm. Farm.
Yeah.
McCain's is in the discussion. It's
the Yorkville of farms. There's a farm on Cumberland Head down there and you can get a great pie, courtesy of Noodles and the Crew.
I'm gonna find out. It's a well known farm around here where you go and pick apples and stuff.
Right.
And it's a key lime pie from them.
Key lime pie is an outstanding pie. I noticed something today. It actually was eye opening that this might lead to the biggest debate is food. Like, I always thought music led to a lot of debate. It does. Movies, TV preferences. I don't think anything gets people engaged like a food topic, because I had people going nuts on me. Like, you're not a fan of this.
Slash your tires, just tweet out one morning at 8 o'clock, pineapple doesn't belong on pizza, and someone will come slash
go nuts. Yeah, you're on a wish list. They're going to come find you.
But I didn't
like
notice
Steve
Apple.
Like Steve Buscemi and Billy Madison, you're on his list.
Yeah. I didn't notice Apple on your list, and people were throwing
most
that
most overrated dessert in the league. Apple pie.
Really?
Not my mom's.
Yeah,
apple
I hate
pie
to
with vanilla ice cream.
No,
gorgeous.
I think you're more of a vanilla ice cream fan.
Yeah.
You could put a piece of rubber on a plate with vanilla ice cream, and you support it right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Ray will join us. We'll get into the Shaq comments. We'll let you hear Dan Campbell's comments as well, the new head coach down in Detroit. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.